This is my island in the sun, where my people have gone and begun. I may sail on many seas, the shore will always be home to me. Oh, island in the sun,
show with Caribbean radio show. This is the Jamaica Yard Guide, and I am your host, Honey Connie, calling you live from Jamaica. Now, this is your number one station, your knowledge station, giving you keen, vivid, everything positive knowledge station. Now, first of all, let me give my condolences to Mr. Ruler Brown and family. Ruler lost his wife recently, and I would just like to send out some heartfelt love and condolences and sympathy and everything warm his way. So people, please remember him in your prayers and your thoughts. It's a really beautiful afternoon, you know, really, really beautiful Sunday afternoon. The fact that we had such a horrible week. It was a really rough and ugly week with no sort of peace. It was just horrible there in the States, you know. And we wonder what was really going on. You know, but we all know it has to do with all the social prejudices and the racial prejudices and everything that has been going wrong from ever since, you know. So we are here this afternoon to do a little talk about it, as it applies to us here at home in Jamaica. Now, for the most part, we are here doing our own thing, and we don't really pay any attention to what's going on. But, you know, it has been here from ever since, from over 400 years of slavery. We had all of that coming right down, you know. So we really wonder what's really, really going on. But as we all know, what happened to that young man who was killed, and the whole world is protesting. Now, the whole world is grieving, and it's a pandemic on top of pandemic. It's pandemonium. You know, you have to wonder, you know, when all of this is going to stop. When are we going to see a change? You know, folks, it's really, really rough out here. Rough. When we stop and we think about, you know, our brothers and sisters, how they have struggled throughout the ages. We have struggled. We have gone through a whole lot of issues from the beginning of time, and it has never, ever stopped. Never, ever stopped. I would want to imagine that people get modern. In modern times, you know, people would really lighten up and think about what they're doing and have a little love, a little care, and come to the realization that we are all our brother's keepers, I love to say, that we are all one big happy family, and we all have blood running through our veins. So I just don't understand how people just don't get it, you know. I just don't understand why. But, you know, we just have to keep on doing what we have to do, you know, and keep on doing what we have to do. This afternoon, we'd like to talk about some issues that we have had throughout the years, whether home here in Jamaica or overseas. So I want everybody to stay tuned and listening. Call if you must. And let us hear your views on what's happening. We have experienced a rough, ugly week, as I said before. You know, the guy who was murdered brutally by the police, you know. The whole world could see what was happening. It was live. Thank God for social media. I don't know what would have happened if we didn't see. But that triggered a whole ball game. It triggered everything. It triggered everything, and one has to wonder what is gonna take to let it end. Oh, let me see if I can pull up some music. Let me see if I can pull up some music here at this time. This is Jamaica Yard Vibes, Irie Vibes. And this is the Caribbean Radio Show, your knowledge station, giving you knowledge at all times.
Just to be there.
Show. You're live with Connie, your host from the Yard Vibes, Jamaica Yard Vibes. Feel free to call us 661-467-2407 or just listening. You're welcome to listen to our show. Guys,
Hello, good evening, and thank you for taking my call, Connie. How are you?
Hi, good evening. How are you? How are you
this afternoon? I'm doing absolutely wonderful.
Oh, great to hear. With all that has been happening, it has been a very rough week. I don't know if you were listening, but as I said, it has been such a very rough week. I mean, for the past 10, 11 days, it has been simply horrible. You know, I'm expecting a very special guest this afternoon or two, and I'm expecting other persons to come on in. So if you keep posted, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, you talk about this is horrible for one. I kind of look at this a little bit differently. Thinking about birth, I don't think it's horrible, but it's not an easy transition from the womb to what we now call Earth. I think is a transition that we're going through. This is a spiritual and also a physical transition where we are cleansing our soul, we are purifying our soul, and hopefully, and this is where I get a little bit, not too really sure, but I'm hoping that the birth will eventually reach to maturity. We don't kind of abort before it's mature time, and we have a healthy new situation, which helps a life that can grow into something that for generation we would have not have gone through this in vain.
Well, I'm really, really and truly hoping for that, you know. I would want to believe that, you know, a change has come. I don't know if you realize that, but a change has definitely come. This is the change. This is a revolution, you know, and I am happy. And it's going to be interesting times ahead when we have to watch and see how things unfold, you know. It's going to be interesting days ahead, I'm telling you, when we listen to what everybody has to say. I finally got it. I got it. So, no. It is interesting. You know, people will want to say, this is why all of that happened. But this is something that our forefathers had fought for. And I guess they were a bit too shy. They were a bit shy to... I don't know. What is your opinion?
I don't think so. Our forefathers fought bloody wars. Sometimes I'm thinking that they fought harder than we are doing now. because these guys were in a different time. We have some amount of freedom now. At that point, they had absolutely no freedom. And for them to have crafted their way out of this horrific life that they were living, we cannot undermine the strength. And I think that is passed down to us. And we're kind of doing it a little bit differently. But by no means we can undermine what they had set in motion for us.
No, I'm not undermining it. And I would never do so, because history tells us exactly what they went through. You know, history tells us exactly what we went through. You know, I have callers on the line, but before I even go there, I am expecting a very important caller from Jamaica and also from overseas as well. One or two persons are supposed to be calling. I'm expecting to hear from a very dynamic person, Sandra Mac Brown. She's supposed to be telling us, chatting, you know, in a diplomatic way about what she thinks about our forefathers and the situation in Jamaica. Hi, good afternoon. This is Sandy. I was just about to tell a little about
your
former here. We had a hiccup at first. We had a hiccup. So that's why I didn't even get a chance to introduce you properly. Sandy Brown, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you
so much. How are you this
I'm doing very well. Very well.
Yeah. Sandy is a professional manager, administrator, and she's into marketing and sales, and she has done her stint in the insurance services, and she's a philanthropist, and she does a lot of charitable work, very dynamic person, and I want us to welcome her because she's also done things for the Jamaica Cancer Society. So she's here to chit-chat with me this afternoon. How are you, Sandy?
I'm very well. Thank you for your wonderful welcome and introduction. And
okay.
I hope one day I live up to the, all the nice things you've said.
But you have been living up. Okay. We want to talk a little bit about, you know, what has been happening throughout the world, because it's the entire world that this has been happening to, all the marches, the protests and everything. You know, I was talking to a caller when I didn't get through to you. 540-353,
yes.
Please stay and listen and you can join us in the conversation. We were talking about
Thank you. Our forefathers.
I was a bit distracted, never meant to say that, the word shy. I was very busy looking at something, so that word shy popped out at me. No, they were warriors. They were very, very brave. Nanny Bogle, to name a few, Marcus Garvey, and they fought. You know, they were warriors. Our mountains can tell us tales we find, like arrows and relics of what took place from the wars that they waged against, like those guys who came at them, Europeans. So they have been fighting for a very long time, and they suffered a whole lot for us to get where we are today. So while we don't have active slave, we do have some slave trade going on somewhere around the world, because some of these guys think they can use the young girls, kidnap them, you women, and use them as slaves in a different form. It still exists, and it is the mind, especially, that they try to enslave the mind, but yeah, our young people are very rebellious, and those of us who are matured enough and sensible enough will know that it will not happen. But I guess I can speak like this because I'm in a minority. The majority of us are black here, whereas in the United States and Europe, our brothers and sisters are minority, the black. So they feel trampled, they're not allowed to even get good jobs or anything to better themselves. And it showed in the coronavirus when they were given, most of the persons who work are the blacks on the front line, you know, doing all of that kind of thing. But today, we want to speak about what's happening here in Jamaica with the prejudices that we experience here. What is your take on it, Sandy?
Well, thank you, first of all, for inviting me and allowing me to share on this platform. I tend to want to look at it more on an international or I might say hemispheric level, because, you know, a lot of people have had the same experiences that we have had here in Jamaica. And I must say that I'm very encouraged by what I see happening, particularly with this generation or these past new generation. In that,
right.
I see courage, I see forthrightness. My generation, we were primarily taught to be diplomatic, you know, and not say certain things.
Yes.
Sometimes translated into hypocrisy, but this generation, they're very forthright. And we know, those of us who are here that have the knowledge should support them. We must arm them with enough knowledge as to give substance to their concerns. All right? And I have, you know, quite a few suggestions as to how we can do that, right? But my overall message is one of encouragement, right? And one that to say that, you know, things are definitely going to improve, and it's going to improve for us as maybe we're looking at a race, because we may be looking at Africans in this diaspora, but not only, you know, open it up to the country, you know, to the world, right? So I'm very, very encouraged, even though, you know, a lot of people might look around and they may be very sad at what is taking place. I see very, very positive signals, all right?
Okay. You mentioned about the young people. You're looking towards them for whatever. But if you notice that it's the young people who are really carrying on, and they are forthright and strong, and they don't hold their tongues, they just say exactly what they have to say, and they go out there and they do. They're not going to sit down and put up with any sort of foolishness like what we might have put up with. or other persons, you know, before our time, tolerated.
That's right.
If you notice out here, yesterday we had something going on up by the American Embassy, and it was a young man, and I believe he was a college student. He was very, very, very outspoken and forthright, and they were well organized. Police were out there, and guess who was at the head of the march? Who came out to march with them? The U.S. ambassador to Jamaica. Came out and he led the march with them. You know, so that's telling me something.
We're very,
go ahead, Sandy.
Yeah, we're very encouraged by these times, you know, that we're seeing internationally, you know. But to arm young people, I think there are several things that we have to do. One of the things is that we must teach them, and I'm screwing this a little bit to the Africans in this diaspora, people from African heritage, primarily because their voice has been suppressed and they have been oppressed, you know, for a lengthy period.
Yeah.
So I'm skewing it a little bit. I mean, other people, other immigrants have had, you know, all sorts of issues, right? But, you know, people from other, I shouldn't say immigrants, people from other, like Europe and so, have had many, many issues in settling into what we call the New World. But Africans have been by far the worst. And what I think I want to say is that what we need to do is teach our young people about their rich African history. You and I have had this discussion whereby when we were at school, we were taught European history, we were taught about the slave trade. And many people were left thinking, well, what happened before that? You know, who were we? Where were we from? What were our practices? What was our religion? What was... You know, we were never taught that in school, which is, I think, that's something that has to be addressed immediately in our school curriculum, right?
Yeah.
A lot of, in universities, there's a lot of information about African studies, right? And, you know, a lot of it was passed on orally. A lot of it was destroyed, as we know. A lot of books, history books, were destroyed. But we know that Africa was the cradle of civilization, right?
Of course,
about the first university. We look at the buildings that were built thousands of years ago, you know, by very talented and forward-thinking people. So when we arm people with that type of information, it affects their self-esteem positively, right? So I came from, a very talented, a very rich part of the world. Okay?
Rich
and
culture.
Therefore, that's right. And how I treat my fellow man, my peer, is a direct reflection of what I think about myself, you know? And
exactly.
We say that we're not unified as a people, right? In order to be unified, then we have to look into ourselves, you know, build our self-esteem based on knowledge, information that's out there. Most of our young people access the internet. So information is a fingertip away, and then build on that, you know, build relationships, you know.
Okay.
And if you notice, all of the cultures that have thrived on the basis of unity, right?
Right.
Unity
right.
of purpose, knowing why they're here and what they have to contribute.
Okay, very good. Very good. How do you think we could move forward, and what do we start? What would you suggest that we start doing in order
well,
for our young?
Yeah, very practically, the young people have to learn about their heritage, you know, and I'm not, you know, suggesting just Africans. Everybody, we have to learn, teach our children, build self-esteem. From there...
But guess what? Guess what? We are a diverse nation out here. We are all interrelated. It's only direct European who will be here, who travel on a plane to come here. But once you have a straight nose or you live in Jamaica, you're born in Jamaica, guess what? We are all Africans. It doesn't matter what you're mixed with, whether you're mixed with Chinese, Indian, or whatever, you are an African. As long as one of your parents or your father's one of them has the African blood. You are from Africa. You're not going to go to India, born from a black person, and go there and tell them that you're Indian. Your roots are here. It's not like that. Neither will a Chinese person, a half caste, go to China and say, oh, I'm here to look for my Chinese relative. It's not going to happen. So we can talk about
it. And that is unfortunate. And
yes,
you know, inherent is that. That is unfortunate, you know, because that adds to the disunity and the prejudices and whatever, you know, if we don't really accept ourselves, you know, and don't allow people to, you know, to tell us who we are and where we are from and what the restrictions are, and we can't go here and we can't go there, because that is a part that is a fundamental part of the problem we have as a world, you know. However, I think that we need to unify as a people. We need to help each other, right? We need to help each other economically, help to educate each other. It is such an important thing for us to become unified as a people. And, you know, we talk a lot about, you'll hear in our neighbor up north, they talk a lot about black-on-black violence. And a lot of it stems, I think, from this feeling of low self-esteem, not feeling a worthwhile human being or have a worthwhile contribution to make to the society, you know.
Despite the fact that Martin Luther had his dream, you know, that all children will one day live in a nation, regardless of the color of your skin, or you know, his dream, I think, is finally coming through. I hope that the change will bring equal opportunities, equal employment, housing, you know, jobs, and equal rights, regardless of the color of our skin. You know, because that is what the problem is all about, the color of the skin. And, you know, and it proved right there in the COVID-19, as I said before, where our people who get the jobs that they think are not substantial, they're not jobs that you look up to, like the person who empties your garbage, the porter and all of those. If you notice, it's Hispanics and black people who are doing those jobs, although they are well paid to do it. I'm going to put you on hold I wanted to stick around a bit. You're here still. I just want to answer a call. 720-998. Good afternoon. Press 1 if you want to talk or if you're just listening. Good afternoon, caller. Okay, I guess
good
that person. Good afternoon. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. I was just here listening for Maurice Fleetwood.
Oh, he's gonna come on. He's gonna come on in a little while. You're a bit early, but I would invite you to listen to all of this, because it's all tied up. The show is all tied up with Maurice's situation and the prejudices and everything. It's leading all up to Maurice's part.
No problem. I've been listening from Denver, Colorado. I'm a Jamaican living here, and so I've been listening and keeping abreast as to what is happening with the rioting in Jamaica. But the protesting and different parts of the world, as well as in Denver, Colorado. So I'm just listening.
Yes.
Maurice was a friend of mine, so I was just listening to the program and just to, you know, get some insight.
Oh, sure. You stay tuned. Stay tuned and give your input as well. You know, what do you think? Can I ask you a question as well? What do you think is happening in Jamaica? You have lived in Jamaica. You're a Jamaican. Would you say we have any kind of racial prejudices here? What prejudice do you see happening here? We have social, racial. Go ahead.
I think it's more social in the sense that people look at your status quo. If you are a university student, if you graduated from university, or if you're living in a particular area, or if you're from a certain family, then you're going to be able to tell it's different. So that's what I've been seeing during this in Jamaica. And mm-hmm. I've noticed it with, like, many people from my community and even, like, mm-hmm. some of my peers. You know, I was able to finish high school, went to University of the West Indies, get a good education, but many of my peers did not. And so some of them were treated as a different. So I was able to see that firsthand.
And that is
and
so
some
very
of these
sad.
Some of these things are not a result of their doing, but because of situations in which they were raised and their family structure. Some of them didn't have the finance to go further. And as a result of that, they were being stereotyped.
That's it. That's so true. And that is why we have a program, you know, we have a program. It's the PalaceOne.org. It's an organization which was set up 10 years ago this year to facilitate students, high school students and university students. And in light of this pandemic that happened, you know, that is happening, we more than ever, we realize that we need doctors and nurses. And we can't have a young doctor like Maurice Fleetwood go to waste. Never, never, cannot and should not. And we should have things really put in place to help students like him. And I find that for real, you know, Sandy, what do you think of the status quo, you know, like the classes? I find that is what they have going on in Jamaica, if you're from a certain class,
that's primarily, you know, everywhere, in every community, there are going to be different issues. Yes, ours is specific because we, you know, people of African descent are primarily in the majority. So our issues may not be reflected, you know, in the same way as those, you know, of our neighbors around and up north. You know, so I'm listening, and I would agree that, you know, our issues are primarily with the status quo, as your caller referred to it, you know. But even that, you know, even that, as I say, is subject also to how people feel about themselves and what do they aspire to, and are they being held back because they don't feel that they are an important part of the society. You know, if they don't feel important, they don't have the self-esteem, then it is very difficult to break through, you know, and to make that leap. You know, in some cases,
I want to add to what Ms. Sandra was saying earlier. Part of the problem is, from what she's saying, stem from what people in society depict or portray our students and our children to be. You may see a little boy, a little girl, like, in blackie, or, you know, stuff like that.
And he's not that's important.
Things that will cause some of these children to have low self-esteem, and they grow up thinking that they're the blackest boy or the blackest girl, or they're the shortest here. And that is a self-esteem issue that has arisen a lot. And some of these kids, and that is why Jamaica has a culture of bleaching for both men and women, because they don't accept themselves the way they are. And so, you know, it comes with self-esteem, education, and also trying to keep it uplift you. So even your own parents will tell you, boy, you're biggie, you know it's biggie, and you know, stuff like that.
Right.
That demoralizes your own child. And so when another person tells them, they start to believe it, and then as a result of that, it starts to give them that low self-esteem. They go to school.
But you have to remember, too, their own parents, right, are subject to the same issues. So they will only pass on what they have learned or what they know, you know. And therefore, they also would benefit from being taught. When the child can look back and say, do you know, I come from a very proud and strong and talented and intelligent people, regardless of what you may think of my outer covering, right? I come from substance. And that changes the entire picture, you see? Because when people over the world talk about superiority, they base it on things like, you know, their scientific prowess and, you know, the intelligence quota of their community, you know. So when you are not valued because you of your origin, you know, you came on a slave ship, and we don't care what happened. And even if you came as one of those workers who came also from poor countries, you know, it's not limited to African people, you know. We had indentured servants also, and they were also subjected to a lot of poor treatment, you know. But the important thing, I think, is for us to arm our people, arm them, you know, arm them with knowledge, arm them, let them know what, where they came from, and to be proud. And once you are on, you have a foundation, you can build on it. It's very hard to build without a strong foundation. Okay.
And I tell you something too. Get back to the point of the classes thing, and you know, backward thinking and all of that. I was talking to a young man yesterday, and he told me that when he was growing up, you know, he blamed part of he blamed the church, because he felt that white people enslaved them. And he used to go to church, and then he stopped because of the whole culture, like the slave thing just gets to his head. And his mother would say to him, anything black not too good. Our own people, cussing our own people that you're black, so you're too black, so you're not good. Anything black, not too good. And we go through life hearing this all the time, because I hear people doing it. And you have persons who live in the ghetto, cannot get a job in some places if they give that address for downtown, anywhere in Tivoli, Franklin Town, wherever they deem it to be a ghetto. They don't give them a job based on the address.
Yeah.
Most times they have to put an address of somewhere uptown, like Compton Spring area or Manor Park or St. Andrew Hilltop. So that is what I am getting to about the class thing. And even persons who have their own helper, how they treat the helper, they don't treat them with respect. That's some people, you know, not all persons, with no respect, little respect. So, you know, the line is lighting up, so I would like to take a call. So you guys pick up in, don't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere. 781-971, you're live on Caribbean Radio Show. Good afternoon. Welcome. Good afternoon, caller. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. 781, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you? This sounds like Maurice.
I'm doing fine. Yes, this is
Maurice. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for joining us. You have Yes, you're welcome. You have a caller online who is interested in your story, and she would love to chat with you a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay,
7-0-9-9-8.
Hello.
Hi, Maurice. It's Miss Fang, Sharita Fang.
Oh, hello, Miss Fang. How are you?
I am doing great. I saw your story, and I got a message from Mrs. Johns from NTV, and so I got the number to call in, so I just called to see, because I want to support you on this venture, and I know, you know, I had taught Maurice at St. George's College Chemistry from fourth form to sixth form, so I know Maurice personally. I know Maurice very well, very good student.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that
I really appreciate the support. Yeah, if I must say, Miss Sang is one of the best chemistry teacher. I mean, she's been our only teacher, but she has produced a whole lot of good students.
Wow. Isn't that something? Yes. So, Maurice, tell us a little bit about your journey, you know, from high school through university.
Yeah, sure. The journey for me was never easy. I'm from St. Thomas, That's where I was attending St. George's College from. So even from then, it was like very hard getting to and from school and all of that. I mean, I'm never from a rich family per se, but I mean, family members always try to do what they could to ensure I am where I'm at now. I mean, there are many supporters along the way. A teacher like Miss Tang, never let me feel like I couldn't attain the best. No matter who I was in a class with, I never felt like anybody could attain something that I couldn't.
That's right.
And
that's
I eventually made it to the University of the West Indies, where I got into medicine. Initially, I was like, how is this going to work? Because the tuition then was $28,000. It still is. But then that would triple it to like $2.8 million Jamaican.
Wow.
And at this day now, it's $3.6 million Jamaican dollars. And that's like, that didn't make any sense to me. How was I going to do that? I mean, people have been there for me, motivated and telling me it can happen. And through the help of many people, even the Johns family, the one that just gave me some of the information, they have been there for me a lot as well. And now I am where I'm at.
That's great. So, so great. And although you're stuck, I just want to encourage you not to give up, not to ever, ever give up. Sandy, you're still there. And this is Dr. Fleetwood, Maurice Fleetwood. We have Sandy on the line. She was speaking about classism and racism, and because everything is all tied up, you know, because if you are from a certain era, certain part of town, you're not supposed to get, because a lot of guys on the street are very brilliant, you know, and they don't have the drive, and they don't get the help to go forward. They're from a different class, they don't get the help, so they don't move up. There's nobody to help them, and probably just the background that they're from, they don't get pushed, and they don't get a chance to speak. So they either be DJ or they turn out to be hardened criminals. And we don't want that to happen to our young people, right? So
yes.
We have to really... you have any word for him, Sandy, to encourage?
Well, truly just to reiterate some of what was said, I don't know if you were listening on the discussion, but, you know, I'm really a forward-thinking. Having said that, we have to know where we came from. And I think the whole thing about the discussion was, as a people, we need to be more educated about our extremely proud past, you know, heritage, you know, as people from African descent and people from all. You just need to know, you know, of the talented, you know, wonderful people and communities from whence you came. Your history doesn't start with the slave trade. So I think young people armed with that, and thereby being able to build their self-esteem, they will aspire, you know, to do great things, you know.
That's right.
But we have to support them. We have to be here for them. I'm very encouraged in the past weeks, as I was saying, Connie, about what I've seen internationally, you know, our neighbors to the north, Europe, all over the world, as far back down as Australia, whereby primarily young people have been coming out and saying enough is enough. We're not the older generation. We are a generation of action, and, you know, we see things happening and we're not happy about it, and we need it to change, you know. And
that's right.
This is the future, you know. This is the future. These are the people who are going to be around 20, 30, 40 years from now. So
exactly.
What we do now, whatever foundation we lay now, is important for them, you know. And so I think that we have to encourage them. We have to try our best to educate our young people, and, you know, so they'll have promise for the future.
Okay. That's those are wise words, Maurice. I'm taking a call, 929-381-1 to talk. 929-381, you're live on Caribbean Radio Show. Press 1 to call, to speak.
Hello?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Connie.
Yes, how are you?
I'm great, Connie. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I hope you've been listening. We have two guests online. Maurice Fleetwood, a young, brilliant, aspiring doctor. And we have a philanthropist, Sandy Brown, a dynamic, beautiful lady. You know, we're just chatting about life and encouraging the young people to move forward, to aspire for what you want, go after what you want, and stay focused. And the social challenges that we have, like prejudices, even in our own society here, where you have a caste prejudice going on, you have a little bit of a racial prejudice, but it has to be kept on check, underfoot. They can't bring it to the fore, really, because you know how our nation, this nation is like, you know what they're like, so they wouldn't stand for it. So what's your take on the matter?
Right. So this, I just wanted to touch on both things. So when I'm just reflecting in terms of where we're coming from, because
Go ahead.
And when we're being taught. Hello?
Yes, I'm
Are
here.
Are you hearing me, Connie?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Right, okay. Right, so I'm just saying I'm glad that for the time that we're in now so we can hear the truth in terms of our history. And we're able to participate, we're able to get solid, good information, and we can also continue to make changes in terms of how society views what has happened in the past and how it's going to shape the future. And then quickly on Maurice, I'd love to, I've met Maurice, and I am a strong supporter of Maurice, and I'd want to ensure that he finishes his university education.
Hello?
So whatever I can do. Hello?
Good afternoon. I'm here with you.
You still hearing me, Connie?
I'm hearing you. You're live.
Right. Okay. I just want to continue to support Marie. She's a very articulate, very bright young man, and the future is in his hands. So just reaching out to all the persons who are listening, and as much as we can help, I'd want you to support Maurice's plea to continue his education. So for Maurice, I'm just telling you never to give up and continue pushing along, and don't be afraid to ask for help.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the support.
Very good.
Okay, Marie. Okay. Mm-hmm. Take care.
Can I call you?
Okay,
go ahead,
bye.
Yes,
Connie,
thank you for calling. Call back again.
Subject.
Keep listening.
Oh, you have another.
Go ahead, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. May I speak? Or you have somebody?
Yes, go ahead and speak, Sandy. Somebody else wants to speak. After you.
I would like to hear, Maurice, I've been hearing a lot of good things about you. I wish to encourage you in your journey. I'd just like to hear from your perspective, what do you think about the future in the context of what's happening now? How, you know, people are standing up and saying we must be counted and you know, enough of the oppression, and the oppression is just not concentrated in one area. You know, people are adopting the whole idea of oppression, because there are people in France talking about oppression now. Different peoples all over the world, you know, have been oppressed. So what is your perspective as to what is happening now and the way forward?
Yes, I think what is happening now should have been happening a long time now. Like it's been happening too often. I can remember when I was watching the news and I saw the whole situation, the whole George Floyd situation, and like to this day I haven't completed watching that video. I couldn't complete that video.
Oh.
And like it threw off my whole day. Like it watching the video is like we're not humans, we're not counted a bit. We don't matter. And to see everybody like standing up in this time now to show that we our lives do matter, that we count.
Mm-hmm.
It's really reassuring and I really
encouraging.
I really hope that we will be seeing some changes will be made, because I mean people always talk about changes being made, but not really. Let's really hope something can come out of peaceful protesting that can
I tell you something
cause some
too.
Change.
Did you hear that answer, Sandy, coming from a young person? Because Sandy,
yes, I'm very encouraged.
Is young.
I'm very encouraged.
Yes. And that's
yes.
exactly what we're talking about, that if these are the people, the youngsters, who will fight.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm very encouraged because I too have children. I have 3 daughters who are very forthright, you know, very courageous. I wish I had 10% of their, you know,
courage
of their courage and
drive.
I see a bright future for them in spite of all that is happening. You know, I see a bright future for them because they are not going to accept the status quo. They're going to question it and they're going to want to act on it. You know. You know, we just have to guide them and teach them wisdom and teach them that, you know, not everything that is in your head that you must say, because that's another, the other end of the spectrum. There's something flying in their heads and they'll just say it, you know.
But
before
say
I go, Connie, I just want to recall a prayer, right? And the first 2 lines of the prayer says, "Unite the hearts of our servants and reveal to them thy great purpose." And I think it is very timely. It's a Baha'i prayer. It's very timely now that we unite the hearts or the hearts of people all across the spectrum. And I that is why what is happening now has such great significance, because I see a unity happening, a unity.
Okay.
You know, based on emotion, feeling, but also of purpose, right?
Yes.
And reveal to us our great purpose, which is to serve each other and to serve God, right? Primarily to serve God, but to serve each other, you know? And we must
before
all remember. The world is one country and mankind is citizens.
Mm-hmm. Before you go, don't go. I have a caller. And they might want to ask you a question. And that caller just disappeared. That caller just disappeared. A 920 number just went. I guess they couldn't wait anymore. 929381. Go ahead. Welcome. 929381. Welcome. Press 1 to talk, caller, 929381. Well, I guess she just wants, or I could swear I heard somebody saying hello. Yes, Sandy.
Hello,
thank you.
553, hello.
Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon, caller.
Yes, thank you much for having me again. I have not heard Maurice's story. I've read some stuff online that he's having difficulty. If you'd be pleased to have Maurice talk a little bit about what is going on with him and just give us a little impact and how, you know, our listeners would be able to help him.
Okay,
yes,
sure. Maurice? Yes.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so currently,
okay.
So currently, I'm on a leave of absence from school because I have an outstanding balance for my fourth year of study. So before I start my fifth year, I have to cover that balance, and then I still have the tuition for that final year to pay. I would be able to come in final year, provided that the balance is covered, but then I'd still have to be worrying about how I would cover for final year. So the
right.
balance is approximately $15,000, which keeps accumulating more because there's a late fine that is charged every month. And the tuition for final year is $28,000. So currently we have the GoFund initiative that we're trying to raise some funds, of which Connie is a part of the team. So contact can be made through her as well to assist me.
So you're saying you have a GoFundMe. Tell us a little bit. You know, we want to hear in detail so, you know, everybody can move towards helping to share, to get out to organization to help you. How much money is it that you owe? And tell us all of the ins and outs so we can get a good feel of what's going on.
Yes, so the GoFundMe started a couple of days ago. The aim is $38,000. So it has been started. I think it's accumulated like over $600 thus far. It's just started, and I'm hoping for that to increase so that it will be able to cover the tuition to afford me to restart school and complete final year.
Okay.
So how do we find the GoFundMe? Where do you find the links?
Okay, so as I was saying, Connie's a part of the team. So through her radio station, you can find the link for that GoFundMe page. There's also a couple other members are part of the team. Dr. Everidge is a part of the team. So you can find her through Caribbean Radio Show.
Is the link on your page? Is the link on your page?
The link is also on my Facebook page.
Okay.
On my Facebook page.
I don't know what name, so we can find that.
Yes, my name on Facebook is Maurice Fleetwood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. So it's Maurice Fleetwood. On his Facebook page, you can go find his GoFundMe. And I have been sharing it a lot, and other friends have been sharing, and I've been telling other persons about it. So people are really interested in helping. We all want to help. And we are
I am looking
that,
at it here as well. I just found it. I'm seeing it on CRSradio.com group page.
Okay,
I just found it. I went on the site, and I think the contribution is now up to $865.
Okay.
Sharika Stang just gave a donation there. Miss Cindy Gaston just gave a foundation. If you guys don't mind me saying, Miss Peter Gates Jones made a donation. Miss Angela Thomas made a donation as well. There's an anonymous donation, a Barrington Rowe. Couple of anonymous donation. Miss Jennifer Lawrence gave a donation as well. Well, it seems like it's going good. How can we help you? I know some people may have funds that they can distribute. How can we help you to get this information out there? And I would like to really know, because having been in Jamaica for over 40 years, I would be thinking that a young man as brilliant as are you, just looking at your story here, how on earth can you get to your final year of medicine, especially in this time when you have the pandemic situation like that, and you have sweat, blood, and tears to to get through 4 years of medical school, and in the final years, because of finances, you're basically, no pun intended, being kicked out?
Well, it's really just going to be the efforts of everybody out there who is hearing my story and willing to donate to my cause. And even if they don't have it to donate, to just share it with as much people as they can, so that whoever may have it to give can give. So I could.
But what I'm saying in Jamaica, I mean, is the government not understanding the scarcity of physician and how important it is? What my thing is that how can one get to the final year of medical school and in a situation like this? I know that's probably a tough question to ask, and maybe anybody on the panel who lives in Jamaica, how is it that we encourage our children to do their best? And of course, if you get an opportunity for a scarce seat in medical school, no matter where, this is hard work. How can you get to the point where in the last 10 seconds, because it's not because you're failing or you're not able, it's just because of finance and we're not able to take care of this?
I mean, what I can say is the whole medical field in Jamaica, I think, needs some more attention overall. But at the same time, I mean, medical school is really expensive, and there are a lot of students doing medicine, and sometimes I this is just me talking out of ignorance, but I don't know if fund is really there to be helping a whole bunch of medical students. But I know there are initiatives in place, there are initiatives that I've benefited from, but even in a time like this now with the whole corona thing, I'm not sure if I can even just depend on, let's say, the government to do something for me, because that's a whole lot of money when people are facing real health problems right now.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So tell me, if you're not able to get this, what are the ramifications of not getting this money on time? How much time do you have to get this money, and what will happen if you don't get it within the specific time?
Well, so it's basically that if I can't come up with the tuition and start back at a particular within a year's time, I would be withdrawn from the program. So that they're basically kicking me out of the program because I've paused for too long.
That is so sad. That will not happen. Can you imagine after having put in all that work and money to lose all of that? That's unheard of. It is unheard of. And, you know, for all listeners out there, I'm really, really imploring you to do something, you know. Maurice, would you, I don't know how we can get you on television to tell your story, but wherever you are, you can Zoom. You're still in the States, or where are you? What part of the world are you
now? I'm currently still in the States.
Okay. So are you planning to come home anytime soon?
Yes.
Okay, because they have opened the borders. So we have to think about this long and hard, apart from the GoFundMe, because you would want to have these funds as quickly as possible to pay the bill so you can at least go back to some sort of thing. And are you currently studying? I should hope you're studying. You're getting some form of notes.
I try my best to always get in studying. Most nights, sometimes even with some of my classmates who are studying for their exams currently.
Great. Oh my God. What about the boys? What about the old boys association at George's?
Yes. I'm going to make contact with them as well, and I've heard some of the old boys making reference to me and trying to do what they can.
Okay, so you don't know who is in charge of the whatever group it is. I know for JC, they have a JC lodge, which I had to help a young man to get back into school and get everything paid up for him. So I'm wondering if they have anything like that. I'm wondering
I'm not
if
sure
they're having.
Who is in charge per se, but I know a couple members of it, and
okay.
I'm planning to reach out to them.
So would your teacher know, teacher? Are you still here?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
Hello.
What do you think can be done to assist Maurice from that end, the school, the old boys? Do you know any of them? They have an association?
There's an old boy association, but I am not in contact with many of the boys. I just have a few of them who graduated who are friends with me on Facebook and Instagram. So what I've done, I've posted it on Facebook and Instagram, and I also shared with a few teachers attending from St. George's College who also know Maurice and taught Maurice. So that's what I did to kind of spread the word.
Okay, great. And, that should be good enough. That's a good start. Maurice, all I can tell you is just don't give up. Keep your chin up, and we are all rooting for you. All of us rooting for you, and we'll be trying to pull out some stops as well, you know? So
yes,
we will be rooting
definitely
for you.
Will. I mean, they say if you want good, you know, so
yes.
I guess
this is it. And you're gonna look back at all of this and, you know, wipe sweat from your forehead and say, did I go through that? You're not going to believe that it all happened, you know? But you're going to come through victorious. Trust me on this one here. I'd like to take a break and play a picture for you. I want you to see the big picture, Maurice. Back to some music here, okay? So listen up. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
I wanted to see a big picture on the hanging on the wall. We're getting down to wrap up time, and I'm sure that Sandy didn't plan to stay this long. Sandy, are you still here with us? Sandy Mac? Sandy? I guess she had to leave. Hello, Sandy?
No,
Sandy Mac?
No, hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you
I'm
now.
Still here. I just wanted to really, I'm very proud of you, Maurice. I'd like to encourage him, you know, as he becomes the great professional that I know he will become. And I just want to say to our people, young people in particular, but people as a whole, that we should value ourselves and value our fellow man, regardless of color, nationality, race. You know, this when we look at all the demonstrations worldwide, we notice it's like a flower, a flower bed, all different colors, all different backgrounds, all different ages. And just to remind our listeners that without unity, growth and progress as a people, as a nation, as a world is impossible. Thank you for having me, Connie. All the best to you and your listeners.
Thank you for coming, Sandy, and please feel free to come back. Tell me when you want to come back. It was nice hearing from you, and thanks for those dynamic words. Thank you so much, and have a good week. Okay?
Okay,
so
thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Okay, so Sandy's off, and we'd still like to make sure we have Maurice's thing up on all our pages for all those who are still here with us or who are listening to us. We'd like to ensure that Maurice gets his heart's desire. 540-353, is there anything you want to say about palaceone.org?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I know probably you may have other Jamaica calls there, so I would kind of hold a little bit until your Jamaica calls go through your 876 line. So if there's anybody there, would they say something, then I'll get into my palace.
Okay, 876-470. I'm wondering if this person wants to say something. You press 1 to talk.
Oh, hi, Connie.
Hi, you're still here. Okay.
Yes. And I just really want to thank you for putting the word out there, especially for Marie. And I'm just hoping that everything goes well. And thank you for the program today. Very interesting.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. Sometimes you don't know unless you hear from me, from the listeners, and from who calling, you know? Really appreciate it. So stay tuned every Sunday I'm here. So feel free to call in.
All right. Maybe they have, is there anybody else who wants to talk before I go into my next bill?
Well, there's a 929-381.
Hello? I want to ask Maurice a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Maurice, have you exhausted like scholarship programs that they have for students?
Sorry, could you please repeat that?
Have you exhausted the scholarship programs that are out there for students?
Yeah, I can't tell the number of scholarships I've probably applied for. And, like, there are even a lot of scholarships out there, but it's probably not even targeted for somebody like me. It's probably specific for, like, a student of a particular school, a student of a particular neighborhood. So a lot of scholarships sometimes are geared for specific needs.
I think it it's the way you approach it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of money for scholarships, especially in your field, medical.
Oh, well, if you have information for that, I'd really appreciate it. I'd really like to exhaust those avenues as well.
Yeah, I'll talk to Constance about it.
Okay. I would be happy to hear and to pass it on. Yes, because somebody was asking me about the scholarships to China. Would you be averse to going there, Maurice? Would you be averse to going to China?
Even Cuba. Cuba have scholarships too, and they have great doctors.
No, but, you know, he started at the university and would want to finish at the University of the West Indies. And it's only 1 year that's left, and I would imagine that he would want to finish up because they're on a tour.
Oh, I thought he was in the U.S.
No, he's in his final year.
Oh, he's in Jamaica. I thought he was in the U.S., sorry.
No, he's in Jamaica.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just currently visiting the U.S.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
All right.
Is there anything you want to say, Dr.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you so much for having me again, Miss Connie. A really, really strong conversation here. And I really think that you should really explore this conversation a little bit more in inequity that is in Jamaica. I think a lot of us have been, and particularly in Jamaica, we have a unique situation, and a lot of these things are being pushed under the carpet. And I think it's only about time that even Jamaica is going to be seeing some of a different kind of cry for inequity. We talk about, I hear Maurice saying that if you're from certain neighborhood, I know I grew up in Jamaica, if you're from certain neighborhood, if you are, this classism is very much there, and I'm not sure classism is different from racism. Any ism is horrifically bad. My hope, though, is that psychological trauma that has been inflicting on us from generation, from slavery onward. I heard my sister, that's eloquently so spoken, there's certain languages that we use, and as one knows, language is, and words are so powerful. We want to stop using words like servant Nobody is any servant. These words are stuff that we use in order to literally put our foot in people's neck as well. In Jamaica, we have horrific situation that goes on. It's just that we know, maybe because of before our slavery time, we know how to kind of control ourselves. Here in the United States, it's boiling over because it's one race that it looks against another race. But the underlying thing is that somebody thinks they're better than somebody, which we have a lot of that in Jamaica. The only thing, we look more like the same, so we are able to deal with it differently. I remember growing up, if you are very dark skinned, you wouldn't be able to get a job in the bank. You couldn't work with the airline. There are certain things that you weren't able to do my long, long time ago when I was growing up. But things have changed a lot, and thank God for that, or thank the government for that, or thank us for opening our eyes. And I hope this would really further expand and give us some kind of equity. But we need to talk about it. We need to get some psychological counseling. And I know a lot of people in Jamaica don't believe in the counseling stuff, but we really need to talk about this on a professional level. But so I hope you're able to bring back this kind of conversation, Miss Connie, so we can talk about this a little bit. But let me just talk to you a little bit about Palace, because I know your time is going. Palace was established by Rhoda Brown, and at the top of the show, you did send out your condolences. Right now, Rhoda is going through a painful situation. Lost is hard, I would say, is hard.
Yeah.
The person closest to him for over 41 years. So that's hard to deal with. But he was the one, because of his compassionate self, growing up in the ghetto, so-called ghetto in Jamaica, we were able to went to Excelsior, and hence seeing the same thing that Maurice was talking about. If you're a certain part in the country, or if you look a certain way, you're less likely to get certain help and assistance. So hence Palace was born, and Palace was really born out of a very horrific situation where a young lady was mutilated over there in St. Catherine, and then the Peace and Love Academic Scholarship came about. That is the acronym for Palace. This has been together for about 10 years now. This is the 10th year. Unfortunately, this 10th year will not happen because at the time, Rula was taking care of his team, his wife, through the situation that led up to her moving away from us for the time being. And so far, the organization has given to Jamaica students, both high school and university level students, 691 scholarships to date. We were expecting to do 100 scholarships, which would have made it about 800 scholarships to date, but this will have to take a burner a little bit. However, donation is still being accepted for coming next year at the Palace website. It's www.palas1.org. That's www.palas1.org. And you can make your donation. You know, this is such a thing that we need, especially us in Jamaica. Getting the resources, getting out there. I remember going to school as a little young girl, really poor, on the Bug Walk Road, barefooted, selling ackee and mango and banana and all of the products that you could get, but dreaming that one day I could be a doctor. You know, I did my very best, but I couldn't have made it in Jamaica. The funds weren't there. The resources weren't there. University, they would take, you have to be a AAA plus person at my time of growing up in Jamaica. You have to be the best of the best or know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody to get you in a place where you can be qualified to do tertiary education. Fortunately, a lot of that has changed. More new institution is there, so you have more seats and more place available. In the university now, I understand, they usually were only able to train 33, and that 33 student was overall the entire Caribbean. Now, with the new building, they're able to do 350. But like Marie's, there are a lot of Jamaicans who are not able to fill more of those places because they don't have the finances. So Palace, although we're not able to give full scholarship, but we're able to give a little bit. And I think we as a country, we need to focus a little bit more on education and also a little bit more on being charitable. Because I don't think a lot of times we understand that one and wash the other. And, you know, every mickle make a muckle. So if a lot of us give a little bit, we don't have to stress out one person to give a lot. So I encourage all of your listeners out there with the Maureen situation. This is an emergency right now. So if... for example, I've seen right here on CRHradio.com, their group page, it is about 8,000, 9,000 people there. I mean, if 9,000 people were to give, say, $5 towards Maurice, towards getting another physician in our community, my goodness, it wouldn't be that hard. So I'm encouraging everyone. I am putting a lot of pressure on myself to get out there and talk to my friends and get them to your side, Maurice. I know that has to be hard, trying to study medicine and trying to sit and think about, oh, my gosh, I'm doing this, but maybe I'm not going to make it the next semester. That is just too much on a young mind to be thinking about the workload and to be thinking about the pain and suffering and financing. And I'm sure as a young guy or a young student, maybe a little apprehension or what if my friends know. And I know a lot of us don't like to ask for things. And I've seen in your description, you know, you find it hard to even think about the GoFundMe. And I can understand that. And this is why I would like to plead to for your listeners to say, please let us put our resources together. We cannot afford to let us down. This is our son. This is our cousin. This is our nephew. Let's embrace him. He did his job of sitting down, doing the exam, passing it, and qualifying. Now we have to reach out and help him. Do our part as well. I want to thank you so much, Connie, for having this show. And Mr. Yes. Maurice, Dr. Maurice, and I want to put Dr. Maurice Fleetwood before your name, and you need to own that because with Connie here and all the wonderful people who are on here, your teacher was here with you, friends were here with you, with all of us and all our efforts, $38,000 would be like nothing. We are going to do it for you because you have a job to do for your community. Thank you, okay. Connie, and thank you so much for the great shows that you bring to this platform.
You're welcome. Thank everybody. I thank you all for coming. Thank you, Maurice, for coming to share your story. And this, believe me, this is the first step. A million miles starts with the first step. And this is your first major step, coming out of that shell and asking for what you want. Always ask for what you want. It doesn't matter how difficult it might appear, you will receive me on that one. You have to ask.
I'd just like to even thank everybody as well who have already donated. and who's out there sharing the word for me. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Okay, good. Great. Thank you. Thank you all for coming, and same time next week. God willing. Have a good week. Have a very good week, and stay safe. And breathe. Please breathe, everybody. Please breathe. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, goodbye. Bye, Marie.
I'll take you out with bye. And yes. And thank you, teacher, for being there. Thank you all for coming. Thank you.